Order, order.
Select committee report.
A proposed change to rules governing international war crimes was the subject of a briefing to the Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade Committee on Thursday. It's called the Kampala Amendment and would outlaw the act of aggression. And a definition of that was given by Brigadier Kevin Rawdon of the Defence Forces Legal Services.
It's invading people, it's sinking their ships at sea, it's seizing their territory, it's displacing their government, it's imposing a blockade. It is that very 60s and 70s, Cold War, post-Cold War type of concept of a use of force. And the second element of it, which is very important, is it's state on state.
Brigadier Rawdon said a crime of aggression was a leadership crime.
A soldier can't be found guilty of aggression. A commander can be found guilty of aggression. A prime minister, a president, a government, a minister of defence can be found guilty of aggression. A private soldier can't be. But to get there is a threshold which says we're talking about really serious, egregious breaches of the international legal order to even get the prosecutor moving past stage one on this.
Also at the briefing was Gerard Van Bowman of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs Multicultural and Legal Group, who said the amendment to the war crimes statute had a long way to go.
And has to be adopted by 2/3 majority of states' parties before that amendment can be operational, and there must be 30 state parties that ratify the amendments before it becomes into force. So whatever we do in New Zealand at the moment, and the same is true for any other country, any action to ratify the statute will itself not become effective until 2017 at the earliest.
Mr. Van Bowman said only 6 countries have agreed to the amendment so far.
We have put out to ministers the options for them to consider. Because of the fact that there's this time delay, the options are either to wait and just do nothing for the moment and see what our other like-minded countries are doing. The second option would be to pass the legislation but not to ratify the amendment until you knew that what the outcome was likely to be of the vote in 2017. Well, the third one was to do the whole thing and therefore become one of the immediate sort of countries that will be bringing the convention, the amendments into force.
Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Multicultural and Legal Group Deputy Secretary Gerard Van Bowman briefing the Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade Committee on the Kampala Amendment to the International War Crimes Statute. Elsewhere this week, and making a case for funding of the State Services Commission, which runs the country's public services, was its Minister Jonathan Coleman, who appeared before the Government Administration Committee. The minister faced scrutiny from Labour's Phil Goff for what he saw as a lack of responsibility from ministers.
I've seen more in the last year of ministers blaming departments rather than accepting responsibility themselves than I've seen in my entire political career, which is quite lengthy. Murray McCully blaming John Allen, Nathan Guy blaming his department for a restructure that was government directed, and the Deputy Secretary of Education taking the fall here, but not the ministers who had the responsibility to push the button and say go live. But where does the doctrine of ministerial responsibility come in? And how do you feel about your colleagues blaming their staff for what they ultimately must take responsibility for?
But Jonathan Coleman wasn't about to break ranks.
Oh look, I've got nothing negative to say about my colleagues and the way they've acted.
Mr. Goff also had questions about Peter Dunn's recent ministerial resignation.
Why is it that Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade staff, who were believed to have leaked information, had to take evidence on oath, but Peter Dunn was never required to give evidence on oath? Why is there a separate standard for ministers of the Crown suspected of leaking from those who are public servants who you suspect of the same thing?
I don't think there is a separate standard. I mean, basically, it was done expeditiously, very timely manner, decisive action was taken, and a minister has now resigned. And as I said in the House yesterday, if you want to move to a situation where ministers are placed under oath and that you're revealing your phone records as an MP, you're revealing the content of your emails, we could go to that, but I'm not sure if you'd want to.
State Services Minister Jonathan Coleman speaking to the Government Administration Committee considering this year's budget allocation for his ministry. That was one of 18 Select Committee meetings held this week. I'm Rhys Lyon reporting for parliamenttoday.co.nz with funding from the Office of the Clerk.